You rent a Cessna 172, you pre-flight it, you fly it, you bring it back in one piece. But what if you didn't? What if you clipped a taxiway light on rollout, or worse? Do you know right now whether you're personally on the hook for that airplane? I'm Tower, this is ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today we are talking about something that a lot of pilots get dangerously wrong, aircraft renters insurance. Let's get right into it. First, a word from today's sponsor. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSold.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. Now, back to that Cessna, here's the assumption most renters make. They assume that because the flight school or the fixed base operator owns the airplane, the flight school or fixed base operator's insurance covers them if something goes wrong. The airplane is insured, the school is insured, therefore I am covered. That assumption, according to the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, is often flat wrong. And learning the difference between those two things in the lobby of a courthouse is not a lesson you want. Let me break down how aircraft insurance actually works, because the structure matters. When a flight school or an FBO or a private aircraft owner insures their airplane, they typically carry two types of coverage. The first is hull insurance that covers physical damage to the aircraft itself. The second is liability insurance that covers bodily injury and property damage to third parties. People on the ground, passengers, other aircraft. Here's what most pilots do not realize, that liability coverage is on behalf of the aircraft owner, not necessarily you. When you're renting that airplane and something goes wrong, the insurance company for the aircraft owner may pay out the claim and then turn around and come after you to recover what they paid. That is called subrogation, and it can happen even if the aircraft owner never had any intention of suing you personally. Some rental agreements do waive subrogation rights against the pilot. Some do not. Do you know which yours does? That is question number one on what the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association calls the renter's insurance checklist. Pull out your rental agreement tonight and read it. Not just skim it. Read it. Find the language about insurance. Find whether you're named as an additional insured on their policy. Find whether there is a subrogation waiver. Find out what the hull deductible is, because in many rental agreements, if you damage the aircraft, you're responsible for the deductible whether or not anyone is suing you. That deductible on a modern trainer can run anywhere from several hundred dollars to several thousand dollars or more. On a complex single or a twin, it can be much higher. And the hull deductible is only one piece of it. Let's talk about liability for a moment, because this is where the real exposure lives. If you are flying a rented airplane and you're involved in an accident that injures people on the ground, or that damages other property, the liability that can attach to a pilot in command can be enormous. Aviation liability suits are not small. We are talking about exposure that can reach into the hundreds of thousands of dollars or higher, depending on the severity. If the aircraft owner's policy pays that out, and their policy allows it, they or their insurer can pursue you for recovery. Even if you are named on their liability coverage, there is a question of limits. What are those limits? Are they enough to cover what a jury might award in a serious accident? Maybe, maybe not. This is why pilots who rent or borrow aircraft should carry their own non-owned aircraft insurance. Non-owned aircraft coverage, sometimes called renter's insurance in the context of aviation, does a few important things. It typically provides you with liability coverage for bodily injury and property damage when you're flying an aircraft you do not own. It can cover your share of the hull deductible if you damage a rented airplane. It can provide medical payments coverage, and it provides legal defense costs. That last one matters enormously. Even in cases where you're ultimately found not at fault, the cost of defending yourself in an aviation lawsuit can be financially devastating on its own. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association offers renter's insurance, and so do several other aviation-focused underwriters. The annual cost for basic renter's coverage can be quite reasonable, often less than what many pilots spend on headsets or kneeboard accessories over the course of a year. The math is not complicated. Now let's talk about the specific checklist items the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association recommends you work through before you assume you're covered by someone else's policy. Number one, read the rental agreement in full. Not when you're standing at the counter at 6 in the morning about to brief the weather. Sit down with it. Understand exactly what your financial obligations are in the event of damage, whether the aircraft is your fault or not. Number two, find out whether you're named as an additional insured on the aircraft owner's policy. Being named is different from being covered. Ask, specifically. Get it in writing if you can. Number 3. Understand the hull damage deductible and clarify who pays it in the event of an incident. Some operators have language that makes the pilot responsible for the deductible automatically. Others have provisions depending on fault. Know which situation you're in before you push the throttle forward? Number 4. Look at the liability limits on the aircraft's policy. Not just whether coverage exists, look at the dollar amount. Compare that to your own potential exposure and to your personal assets. If you own a home and have retirement savings and the policy limits are low, you have a gap. Number 5. Understand care, custody, and control exclusions. This is a term that appears in a lot of insurance policies, and it can bite you in ways you might not expect. Some policies exclude coverage when a third party has care, custody, and control of the aircraft. In plain English, that can mean that when you as the renter are flying the airplane, you have custody and control, and the owner's policy language might treat you differently than it treats the owner. This is a question worth asking an aviation insurance professional directly, not just guessing at from reading the policy yourself. Number 6. Make sure you understand the scope of coverage for passengers. If you carry a passenger and that passenger is injured, are they covered under the aircraft's policy? Under what limits? And again, if there is subrogation language, what is your exposure there? Number 7. If you fly more than one type of aircraft or rent from more than one location, make sure your personal renter's coverage extends to all of them. Some policies have limitations by aircraft category or weight class. Know what your policy covers and confirm that it matches your actual flying. Now, I want to step back from the checklist for a moment and address something broader, because checklists only help if you actually use them. A lot of pilots treat insurance the way they treat a tire pressure check before a road trip. They know it matters, they intend to get around to it, and then something else comes up. The difference between a low tire and an uninsured liability exposure is that a low tire does not usually cost you your financial future. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been pointing this out for years. The renter's insurance conversation tends to get put off until something happens, and then it is too late to have the conversation productively. Pilots are, as a group, pretty good at identifying and managing cockpit risk. We do the math on weather. We do the math on fuel. We think about density, altitude, and weight and balance. And then a lot of us get into the business side of flying and completely stop doing the math. The business side of flying matters too. Here is what the risk picture actually looks like for a typical renter. Let's say you fly 40 hours a year in rented aircraft. That is a modest number for an active private pilot. Over 5 years, that is 200 hours over 10 years, 400 hours. The general aviation accident rate in the United States runs roughly about 6.5 accidents per 100,000 flight hours, according to National Transportation Safety Board data. Statistically, over a flying lifetime, the odds are not in your favor that nothing will ever go sideways. Not because pilots are reckless, but because aviation is an environment with genuine risk and a lot of variables. The question is not whether you will ever have an incident. The question is whether you have made a rational decision about how to manage your exposure. If you do, aircraft renter's insurance is not expensive relative to what it protects. Most basic non-owned aircraft policies are available for well under a few hundred dollars a year for reasonable liability limits. You can add hull deductible coverage on top of that. Even a policy with $1 million of liability coverage and hull deductible reimbursement is accessible for most pilots at a cost that should be a line item in the flying budget right alongside fuel and oil. And here's the other angle on this. Rental agreements are contracts. When you sign a rental agreement and you have not read it, you have still agreed to everything in it. That is just how contracts work. The person at the front desk is not going to walk you through the subrogation clause. That is not their job. Their job is to get you squared away and get that airplane out the door. Reading the paperwork is your job. This is the part where Tower is going to be direct with you. If you're renting airplanes right now and you do not have your own non-owned aircraft insurance, go get some today. Not next month, not after your next flight review. Today, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has a product. There are other aviation insurance brokers who specialize in this area. A quick search will surface several options. It takes about as long to start an application as it takes to watch a weather briefing. And while you're at it, dig out the rental agreement for wherever you fly regularly and actually read it. The checklist the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association put together for this is a useful framework for doing that. It is not complicated. It just requires the discipline to sit down and do it. The pilots who get hurt by gaps in insurance coverage are not, by and large, bad pilots. They are pilots who made reasonable-sounding assumptions that turned out to be wrong. That is an easily correctable problem, and there is no reason to wait. All of today's information comes from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. You can dig deeper at aopa.org. More information on what we covered today is also at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Fly the plan, but read the paperwork first. See you next time.